Philippians 2, verse 1. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. He's asking you to gain these thoughts in your mind, to be thinking like He's thinking, the Lord. Having the same love and being of the one accord and of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every one on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants. Let this mind be in you, which was exactly in Christ Jesus. You got it? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this be in you. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm fascinated with that because they joke me as Barry is as righteous as God on the internet, on the post, the Facebook post of Elwood's and stuff. You know, Barry's as righteous as God. Well, guys, I am righteous as Almighty God. Not a joke. And He wants this to dwell in me. I don't go around thinking I'm God. I know where I got my righteousness. It was imputed to me. You understand? I'm not walking around like, I've gained it. All the guys that are joking me are trying to gain their righteousness. Like something they're doing is so impressive. But my righteousness, God wants me to think of us not being equal. And if you read Philemon, it will explain that. But I want you to go to Isaiah. Hold on to here. We're turning right back. Can't find Isaiah. You haven't been studying your Bible much, but it's in the middle somewhere. And go to Isaiah 64. See, all the human righteousness that you have is junk. And it says in verse 6 very clear, Isaiah 64. Jamar, have you not found Isaiah? All right. Just checking. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as what? So, I mean, if you could gather up everything you could gather up and pile it on the floor, God would see it as filthy rags. Well, I can't go into heaven with filthy rags. He ain't going to let me in. It's like, how many here have kids and they're dirty from head to toe and you stop them in the mudroom and no, you're not going in this house without strip down your clothes, get out of those, let's clean you up before you get the whole house dirty. Anybody been in that scenario? I may be the only boy that did that, but I was like dirty all the time, man. I mean, I don't mean dirty, dirty. I meant like, you know, muddy, dirty. I saw your eyes going, My righteousness is nothing as filthy rag. You got to dump them at the door. People don't understand that. They want to cling to their righteousness. They want to cling to their goodness. They want to tell me how good they are. Well, the Bible said ain't none good. Well, righteousness has to be imputed if you're going to gain it, because if you gathered all the righteousness you had, it doesn't matter how much it is. Doesn't matter if it's a you know, up north they have people thinking they can do good works. And it's kind of this philosophy. You live like hell, but you get saved, and from here on out, you got to live, you know, holy. Over here, you were bad. Over here, you get saved. And from here on out, you better live it. And that's the whole philosophy of those people up north.
It ain't only up north.
No, that's true. It isn't just up north. But with the Mennonites, it's a big deal.
How they doing?
Good. The battles are hard, though. They're in it every day. And they're mocking the fact that I'm made righteous. Well, folks, there's no other way I could get in. Mock all you want. There isn't anything I can bring and knock on the door of God and say, God, I've got this I want to show you. That is exactly what Cain tried to do. Man's been trying to do it ever since. Knock on. Boy, let me show you what I've been doing for you. And this thing about righteousness and being the righteousness of God, folks, that's the whole dealy-willy. People have always thought they were righteous by going to church, tithing, you know, all those things. Well, that isn't what made me righteous. Go back to Philippians chapter 2. I'm glad you're joining us, Dolores. You'll have to write us and tell us more about you. We'd like to know. I love this. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said in verse 5, let this mind be in you. But, verse 7, and this is the part that you got to get. But made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what he basically did? He became me. And in that, he wasn't really ashamed of me. He became me. Because he knew the only way that I could get in was to be made righteous. I couldn't gain enough of my own. In fact, Israel tried it. Look in Romans chapter 9. Look in Romans chapter 9. I had this one guy, Steve, what is his last name? Fudo or... Anyway, you ought to read the if you're on Facebook, you ought to read over on Elwood's site. If you're not friends with him, try to friend him. Been an interesting conversation. But this whole thing in Romans chapter 9, I want to start in verse 30. Probably don't need all that, but I'm going to read down. Verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, hath attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. The faith of who? Christ's faith. Boy, that's very important. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion the stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth him shall not be ashamed. Chapter 10, verse 1. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, listen to this, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, guess which one I have? The righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Hello? Hello? All those people going around thinking they're really pleasing God and keeping the law up. Guess what? They don't realize. When you're saved, the law is done away with. Why?
nailed it to his cross.
But why? A little bit more. Come on. You're on the right track. You just keep it coming. What?
He believed that God would raise him from the dead.
No.
Because the law is not to justify a man, but to show him his sin.
That's it. Did you hear that? The law never entered in so that a man could be justified. It was to show he sinned. After you got the fact that you're no good, you ought not to be able to be beat up over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Amen? You don't need that. You got it. You know, when your mama says, "Boy, you're ugly," she doesn't have to say that 15 times. That's pretty hurtful. You got it. That's what my mom said. "Son, you're just going to be ugly." You know, I decided I might be ugly, but I ain't going to be ugly and broke. You know? I mean, the only thing worse being ugly is being ugly and broke. Well, ugly, broke, and single would be bad too. You know what I mean? I'll stop there. They went around to establish their own righteousness. As if something they were doing it was impressing to God. Well, let me tell you what. You want to impress me? Grow some wings and fly. You know what impresses God? When you quit trying to be something and you trust what He did. And then all of a sudden says, "Man, that guy's got faith. He believes." You know, it's all about, it's about the righteousness of God being given to you. And those guys are making mockery of it. And they're always saying, I've married a divorced woman. I'm going to hell. Have you had more than one wife? No, she's been my only wife. See, I have nothing good to bring. I was eating lunch with Carlton yesterday on my way down, and Carlton's a great man. I got very quiet, but buddy, Brenda says, you get him alone, he kind of opens up. You know, and I know they're all probably laughing at him, poking at him, but he does, boy, he opened up. But it's so great to stand before you and not to have to buffalo who I am to you. I don't have to live a lie. I'm just who I am. So I don't like Brother Barry. Hey, welcome to the club. I get in the morning and say, "You are a jerk. I don't even like you." But when the mirror starts going, "We don't like you either," that's freaky. That freaks me out a little bit. Of course, I've laid off the painkiller since then. I don't like me. You know, I have tried everything in my life to change. I've read positive books. I've worked on me and my language. I've tried not to be so dictatorship. And you know what I found? When I try to do good, evil is present with me. That's a fact. I hate it. I would like to change. I would like to be a better person. I would. You know what's weird? My love of my life is Brenda Hampton. I have never been ever in love with anybody like I'm in love with her. I wake up absolutely overwhelmed that I get a chance to just see her in the morning. It's amazing. Oh. But occasionally, I yell at her. And I'm like, "What are you doing? She's the love of your life." Isn't that weird? I mean, I want to spoil her with everything in me, and yet sometimes I just flub it up. I'd like to get it right once in a while. I ain't kidding you. When I first started this ministry 23 or 24 years ago this month, August, when we basically started Grace Bible Church, starting month. I came June and July, but I traveled from Brother Moore's. In August, we got the Free Will Baptist Church there on Ferry Hill Road, and we met there for $60 a month. Boy, I'd like those days back. And I tried in my life to sin snuff everything that was bad or offensive in my life. And it reminded me of a dog chasing his tail that never caught him. It was round and round. You know what? I get one taken care of, another one pop up. About 2 years into the ministry, he said, you know what? They're going to have to like me like I am because I don't know how to change.
But you have.
Huh?
You have.
Well, you have too. You've gotten better looking over the years.
You too.
It's just because our hairs are getting closer matching. I haven't changed at all. I'm pretty much a failure. And see, when you finally get to the place in your life and in your place, Marshall says they can't hear us on the internet. She says I'm talking too low. So if you can help me out there, sound man. You know, the further I get into grace and the more I realize it, the spirituality isn't really trying to live the right life. That's not true spirituality. I used to think it was, that you would shape yourself into this person that God was working on. I realize true spirituality is the deeper realization of where you really are. And being honest with yourself. See, that's... Look in Romans. We're in Romans 9 talking about they're establishing their own righteousness. Go to Romans chapter 7 for a minute.
Is that better on the sound, I hope? Tell us.
I hope it's better. Can you hear us better, Marshall? That's my sister-in-law watching us in Pensacola, Florida. She watches every Sunday, she says. I'm glad to always have her. I want to start in Romans 7:13, but I want to read down quite a bit of the context because I believe this is 25 years after Paul got saved. And I think Paul is really expressing what you ought to really be seeing in yourself as you grow in the Christian faith. You ought not to see someone that's, oh, I've got sin under control, because if you think you got sin under control, you're just foolish. You're still deceived. I think it's more this attitude. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, and that's what Wayne was talking about earlier, working death in me, by that which is good, that the sins by commandments might become exceedingly sinful. And that's what it was designed to do. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm what? See, that's hard for us to say. Sold under sin. Much better. Thank you. All right, good. But that colon... The law is spiritual, colon, here's the real truth. I'm carnal, sold under sin. You see the problem? It's admitting. You know, people say, well, you're very honest. What am I going to tell you? That I'm a great guy? Handsome? Huh? Come on, are you kidding me? There isn't anything I want you to see about me. You're looking at me, you're looking at the wrong thing. Look at the words. I'm just carnal, sold under sin. You have a little pride in your life? try to beat that thing down. Whew. I have a hard time with pride sometimes. People say, you have a haughty attitude. Sometimes I do. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You know what he hated? Sin. If then I do that which I would not, I consent on the law that it's good. Now, then it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. Can you admit that you still have sin in you? Anybody here has tried to conquer sin? I did. I tried to conquer sin. And this is the illustration. Camera one, see if you can zoom in on this good, or one of you guys. This is the illustration. By the way, I stole this from my father. You're in Adam. In Adam is condemned. This house has doors falling out, windows, rot in the roof, and so you see that there's no hope in Adam. Listen to me very carefully. This is very important. And so somebody comes along and says, well, you don't have to live in Adam. You can have a new place. Perfect. And so you get saved and you join Christ. In Christ, you're holy, you're righteous, you're justified, you're redeemed, you're sanctified, on and on. You're everything. But what religion tells you to do is say, yep, that's true, but you need to get back here in Adam and clean them up. And so you get saved and you say, well, I ought not to ever cuss him anymore. So you put the door back in. But that girl on the beach walks by in that bathing suit. Now, you're not cussing anymore. But that girl walks by in that bathing suit and those new glasses. Christy's got some new glasses. She's pretty hot in them.
Amen.
Amen. So, anyway, out of the corner of your eye, you just glance that little bikini. Now, nobody saw it but you.
Your wife saw it.
And God. Did you hear the last part? And God. Wife didn't even catch that one. You thought you got away with it. I saw Stan Kuth one time. I'm not kidding you. Practicing his peripheral vision just for that. So you lusted, but no one saw that one, and so you let it go. Because nobody saw it. Oh, you say, well, I would never lust after a girl in a bikini. All right, we'll add line to your repertoire, too. Adam is never going to be acceptable to Almighty God. Ever. Say, well, I'm cleaning them up really good. For who? For who? Not for the Lord. He's already made you righteous.
But they say it's so you can have a good testimony.
My testimony, and really, that's what we're reading about, isn't it, in Romans 7? That's what he's testifying. That is his testimony. Look at verse 18. I love verse 18 here in Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. How many here want to do the will of God? Amen. Me too. But how to perform that which is good, I find a little bit of the time. Why do people act like they find it? Isn't that weird? Well, I gave up alcohol and cigarettes for Jesus Christ. Oh, you did? I bet he's pleased. Now, I'm not promoting you to go out and sin. I don't think you ought to go out and sin. You know what I know about you? You can't help but go out and sin. You can try. Try. I want you to try. Stop sinning. I want to see your IRS forms. I bet you're a liar. How much you want to bet most of you lie on your IRS form? Got a guy that's a good friend of mine. Told me the other day. I mean, he told me clearly he's getting in by his good works. Then he told me he didn't report like half of his income on his IRS. Weird, isn't it? I've had people come up to me and say, "Preacher, I'd like to give to the ministry, but I don't have any money." Next thing I know, they buy a new car. Where'd that come from? That's weird. I would call that a liar. Just don't have any money for the Lord. That's true. Listen, there's one thing I learned. I grew up on the water. We had boats all our lives. You could give to the Lord without a boat. You got a boat, it takes everything you need. You have an 18th century home, here's another thing. Watch the movie The Money Pit. I own one. There's a vacuum that sounds like this when you walk by. It's just sucking down dollars. But how about it, guys? You ever find it? Paul, after 25 years, says, "That is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not." Isn't that odd? And when you can get to that level of spirituality and say that about yourself, you're growing as a Christian. That is a hard verse. You know why? We really do think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we get a little pride in it. We get that new car, we want to show it off, don't we, Deborah? I do. First thing I did when I got Jagger, I just didn't even stop by Larry's house. I just drove by five times until he saw me. We all do that. We come up something great, want to show it off. I got a blue jacket. I worked for 5 minutes. I want to show it off. Probably the position it'll find itself in most of the time until we get this building cool. There's nothing good about me, guys. The only thing I can brag to you about is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's when true spirituality starts to happen. Look at this. Verse 19. Everybody read this with me. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not..." Oh, you don't believe that. You don't really believe that. That's a hard one, amen? That's hard for me to admit that. How many's done something bad that they would like to admit to us? Anything?
I'm not doing something bad.
Guys, listen to me. Nobody wants to stand up and say, "You know what? I'm a liar." That's very uncomfortable. But isn't that true of you?
Yeah, that's right.
It's amazing. It's very hard to say. This at the 25-year mark of Paul's ministry showed me that, you know, what Paul completely relied on, and I'm hoping not to run out of time. Oh, we got plenty of time. Verse 20. Read it with me again. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it. Really? You believe that? I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, everybody, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You got that? And what is it? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You can't stop it. And so the key of Christianity is walking over here and never coming back to Adam. Just walking Christ. And this is exactly what Paul did in Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Oh, man. Isn't this great? Great to have Deborah back on the camera. I can't see her, though. She used to be up here. She was a lot prettier. Can we switch her to camera 2? I mean, I don't really care about looking at Larry, but Deborah's much better. It makes me smile. I'd smile a lot more. Can you make that happen?
We'll make that happen.
Thank you. I'm just kidding, Larry. Not really.
Larry says somebody else needs to step up on the camera, so he says.
He's the guy that can do it. He's a photographer. Those two are both photographers. I mean, sure enough. He's got some artwork photography, and she does wedding photography that is fantastic. So if you all have a wedding and you want pictures, have her take them. Then look back 25 years and say, how did I fit in that dress? Philippians chapter 3. Last verse for the day. I'm going to start in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Wow. You know what? Paul didn't go around trying to establish his own... Even his preaching, he says, I didn't use the words of wisdom, enticing words of man's wisdom to preach, but by the demonstration of the power. You know, I've been honored by a lot of people say, well, you really know the Bible. If you've known Brother Moore or some of these other men, they really know the Bible. I'm just getting to know it. You know what's weird about it? Any strength or anything that I say or write is it because it comes out of a King James Bible. That's a fact. Nothing I have can offer you or do anything for you other than get you to read the book. And if you want to be one of the most powerful men on the planet, you want to have the authority that God wants you to have, learn the book. Be instant in season. You know, it's the preaching of the cross that is the power. What is the preaching of the cross? Folks, you've never been any good since the day you were born. But there has been some good news that came along the way that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago went to that cross and died on that cross for you. Died that you might have life. And you know what? I can tell you all about righteousness, but you know what? You can't have it except you go through the cross. You see, right now this morning is the day that you can change your entire life and go from self-righteousness onto righteousness by trusting Jesus Christ. What did He do for you? He went to that cross and He died for your sins. How many? All of them. What do you have to do? Nothing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you will believe that He died for your sins, He will save you right now, instantaneously, without even a quiver of thought, and you will be eternally secured until the time and the day of redemption that draws nigh, is called the rapture. It's coming. I've had so many people say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about Miss Holloway. Huh? What are you sorry about? Listen, do you realize you have to die to go? Say, well, if I go in the rapture, it'll be just like you died. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What happened to Miss Holloway? I want. I mean, do you get it? It's our hope. And I'm always amazed at funerals. So, oh, I'm so sorry about your loss. Ain't going to be a loss to me. I'm saved. I'm going to see her again. You know, Philippians chapter 1 says, for to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What happened to her? She gained something. And you know what? It isn't a sorrow. You think we're sad? Brittany, are you sad? We were sitting there singing Christian hymns. She says, I want to go home. And Brenda said, where, Mariana? And she said, no. To the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, well, just quit breathing then. You know what? We can't stop ourselves from breathing. It takes God to take us through that portal. And that portal is hope. But if you're not saved, you don't have that hope. And you know what? I preached on that funeral. There are a lot of people at funerals that die and go to hell that they somehow sneak into heaven. Amen? Anybody ever seen anybody just go to hell? I've never seen anybody just go to hell. That person went to hell. Well, no, that person was a good eater. That's what I'm working on. And Nora said, it's working so far. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that He rose again the third day. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
It's really that simple. So just relax in that. Thank you guys for joining us. Where are we going for lunch?